Today's sermon is called Facing the Storms. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. Our Lord God of our hearts, minds, souls, and spirits, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, we know that divine power can still the waters, right? What are some examples of this? I know you know this. You all study your Bible regularly and religiously, but just in case you've forgotten, let me remind you so that you can read about this for yourself, maybe in after we're done with our sermon here. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 and 6 through 9, when God's creating the earth, right? In Job chapter 38, verses 8 to 11. In the Psalm 65, verses 5 to 8, and Psalm chapter 93, verses 3 to 4. In Isaiah 51:10 and Jeremiah 5:22. We can get easily distracted about today's reading on whether and how Jesus calms the seas. But I'd like for us to take a little deeper look behind the meaning, because as we're journeying with Jesus through Mark's gospel here, we're seeing and we're getting a better sense of what it means that the kingdom of God has come near and here. For the next few weeks, our faith is going to start to get, as they say in the art and painting world, some finer definition and deeper coloration. Trust is our very human response to things that happen around us that we see and that are out of our control. And we're going to hear about some pretty desperate and maybe hopeless situations. Peril at sea, intractable possession of mental illness, chronic and incurable illness, and sickness tipping over into death. Jesus' works in Mark, unlike in John's Gospels, do not stimulate faith. Instead, it's in reverse. First comes faith, fostering the conditions in which God's power to restore, made real and done by Jesus, can then be seen and experienced. In our text today, faith is at work to still a deadly storm. And it's not faith among the disciples. No, they're totally afraid. The faith seen is the trust of Jesus himself, because he's peacefully asleep, isn't he? He's on that cushion in the back of the boat, just peacefully asleep, because sleep is a metaphor for trust in God. Defenseless, mind still, Jesus' mighty works should be seen and studied not just for their happy endings, but for what they disclose about observers' faith like ours. As we look at faith, however, we inevitably encounter our old foil, fear, don't we? Six times in Mark, the disciples are said to be seized by fear that blends terror and awe. Two of these are in the stories of the storms at sea. Two others are in Jerusalem and among the passion predictions. And two others are the transfiguration and the empty tomb. I think one of the greatest things we can learn about and observe in the disciples in these moments of fear and awe themselves is simply those moments. If we observe them with our own eyes of faith, we'll see that these moments of fear and awe place us unequivocally in the presence of God. And what do we call that? What do we call being in the presence, in the midst of God, being God? It's an epiphany, right? Did you ever think that a moment of fear and awe is an epiphany? But what would Mark's church have heard in such stories? And what can they be saying to us? as best as we can discern, Mark's church, in about 70, after the year 70 after Christ's birth, so 70 CE, they were living in the shadow of the traumatic war of the Jews against Rome that ended with the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. Now, it's hard for us to imagine total devastation and destruction, because although we as a nation have been involved in a lot of wars, America itself has never been destroyed by a war on the scale of many other parts of the world, including where it's happening in Sudan and Gaza. All that people have known in those parts of the world, their buildings, their art, their culture, their historical place and belonging, generations of people, they're being wiped away. How many times have we heard those same people ask, how could a just God allow this to happen? Where is God in stopping the violence and killing? Why is God not answering our prayers? These are laments of desperation of a people being destroyed in mind, heart, and soul, as collective, as a society, as well as individual being. And now, it moves us to compassion, yes, but stillness too. Because there is no salve, no single combination of words which can heal. And fear, left unchecked, that can easily settle into terror, can't it? Can we enter into lament and pain? Do we feel for our neighbors that way? Can you be a suffering Palestinian in a destroyed Gaza with nowhere to go and with no one to help? It was that way for the early Jews after the temple's destruction. If Mark's account of Jesus' life and ministry were to be good news for the church, it would have to proclaim that message in the midst of the storms through which they were living, and in which many were dying. It would have to shine a light of hope in the nighttime of the light of life of the church, and not only proclaim the coming day of Christ's longed for return in power. This story affirms that it is still nighttime when the long and perilous journey of life is still in process, and faith and trust and fear, they all coexist in the same boat where God lies also. It's never an either or. It's a both and. And like I've said many times, God's presence, God's reach is bigger than we can see. It's been that way from the beginning. People come to us. They come to this church with the unanswerable and seek the past to again be their present, because the losses have just been too much. Economic, bodily, psychologically, spiritually. The future is not even a possibility. But you know what? The church, in its fragility, is still the little boat. It's still the little boat braving the storm in danger of being swamped. The little boat in the Bible is the metaphor for the church. Why we matter for people, as we did 2,000 years ago for Mark's hearers, is that Jesus lies here in the boat with us, It feels rocky and dangerous, yeah. But we know if we keep sailing, if we keep trusting God, the sea will be still. The storm will pass. Now, that doesn't mean that other storms won't come. Other storms will come. But the storm, the fear, does not fester and linger. The storm is gone. Fear is gone. Hope has a chance to come back. I want to leave you with these final thoughts. In the Gospel of Mark, belief and unbelief are not static and never entirely absent. Faith waxes and wanes, and faith is kind of like an oscillating fan. It veers from one side to another, caught for a time by flawed, egoistic humans before getting too much fortune and luck and letting it slip from our grasp, and then we're back in need of God's reassurance. But faith depends more on human volition than on cognition, doesn't it? Faith is justified by works, after all. So, the opposite of these tales of faith formation in the Gospel of Mark is probably what? Atheism. Because atheism allows us to check out completely. The opposite of these stories of faith is fear, a lack of conviction or rejecting Jesus' ability to wield God's peace and will in the world. Remember that the Gospel of Mark constantly tells us that there's no other way but through the cross, that suffering and death are inevitable. But ultimately, even in spite of death and through our own suffering and demise, God's power and presence, it's here for us. Now, we live in frightening times. We're right there with Jesus' disciples, aren't we? We're right there in a boat being swamped, terrified that God's gone AWOL and Jesus doesn't care much for this world. World events swirling around us. Paying too much attention to the popular press, and you can be downright convinced of that. Because this past week, there's been quite a few pundits and people telling us not to trust justice or mercy. I hope you pray with me this week that your hearts, all of our hearts, help expose society's fearmongers, driven only by their obscene lust for power. Pray to remind us right here, right now, at our church, that God is with us. Christ, Emmanuel, the Paraclete, remains dedicated to the welfare of all people who are scared and suffering. Because the boat is sailing into the storm. Will we go forward or turn back? The choice is always ours, depending on who we see is sleeping down below. Thanks be to God. Amen.